looking down at my friend who had just that day taken his own life, being just in that state of shock with what we were experiencing and what we were seeing and hurting so badly that all I could say was, God, I know you could have stopped this. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where Joyce shares the word of God in her practical, no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is way. And my friends and I talk about the real stuff of living it day in and day out, and we hold nothing back. I'm Ginger Stocky with my friends Aaron Cluley and Jay, who is on Zoom today. Hi, Jay.
Hi.
Far away.
Hi, guys. I miss you guys.
We miss you. We are three friends who are in different places in life, different stages, but we know the importance of having honest, loving women around you. And sometimes when we need a little bit of extra help, we call up Miss Joyce and we ask her, because sometimes y'all got to talk about life with your girlfriends. So consider yourself one of us now. Come on in here and let's talk it out.
Hi. Aaron, I miss not being able to make a little funny face with you when Ginger.
I know. I panicked for a second, thought, who do I look at?
What do I do? What do I?
Just look at the pillow over there.
I also appreciate the air hug you gave us with your jazz hands, spear fingers. Your nails look good.
Thank you.
It is so different to have you on Zoom. You know, I'm glad you're here with us. Yeah. So we'll take you however we can get you. But
yeah, it's not ideal, but thankfully we have technology and an amazing crew that can make things like this happen. And I feel like what our girlfriends probably feel like when they're watching us.
Yeah.
So I get a different vantage point. We did a little bit of this back when we were all quarantining and, you know,
right,
for COVID
when we were all,
but it's just different doing it like this. But I feel like how our other girlfriends feel possibly when they watch
sure.
us.
Well, I think the thing about today is learning to adjust to all circumstances in life. That's what we're talking about is, how do we trust God when ... whatever comes after that ... wow. And can we trust God in all circumstances? Mm-hmm. And when life changes and adjusts and we have to pivot and go with it, and maybe we have to completely start over sometimes, mm-hmm. can we trust God through all of that? Have you guys struggled with that at all?
Never in my whole life. Never. Absolutely not.
I honestly ask that because some people don't. I mean, some people trusting God is just kind of a natural thing. And mm-hmm. I've not been that person. I am one of those people that have always asked a lot of questions and always asked a lot of God and asked that why question and gotten upset. And I've never been the type that was like, I'm good with my faith because my parents had the faith or because my church tells me to have it. I've always had to dig in mm-hmm. and find it for myself.
Yeah. I'm married to someone who is that strange person who's like, yeah, that's what God says. And that's what God says. And I'm always like, but why?
What a great faith to have.
Yeah, it's great, but when,
it's
when
great,
you're the one
be,
on the other
it can
side,
be annoying.
Yeah,
it can be annoying.
I said that. How do you not question these things? How do you not wonder where God is? Because he's not answering when he very well could right now.
Right.
And Mike has always said, he knows better than I do. I know he does, but it's very frustrating. So I know exactly how you feel. I have many times asked God why and when and how and what are you thinking? Yeah.
Yeah. And I would have on the outside looking in before I really knew who you were, Ginger, I would have thought that you were one of those people mm-hmm. that naturally just until I became your friend and got
now
to
we know.
See some. But here's the thing. This is what I love about even Talk It Out and being able to share, because the word, and we'll talk about this even more about overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and being honest and like this platform really is about having real honest girlfriends around so you can be honest, so we can not just chat about regular, just random things, but really, honestly, it's us telling our testimony of where we are and where we've been and how God's brought us through. Because a lot of times people on the outside looking in, it was just funny even when I talked to you guys last time about how y'all know how I've been going through, I went through the whole divorce on this platform with you guys, but how my ex actually announced that he's getting married after only like 2 months of officially being divorced. And people on the outside just assumed that I was so okay with everything. Now you guys know differently, because when I first found out, I was just like, it was devastating. Not because I wanted to be back with him, just because it just felt so fast. And so it just didn't seem loving. And so, I know people on the outside were like, you look so strong. Like you looked so it was okay for us to, people were commenting on his stuff. I didn't know, but my friends, other friends saw it, and my daughter even saw, you know, congratulating him on it. I'm like, well, I'm not asking you all to not be his friend, but it was hard for me to see that. And people were like, we just assumed because on the outside looking in, you looked really good. But I, on the inside, I was really struggling with trusting God. Like, God, where are you? Like, this feels backwards. So yes, I struggle with it. And I'm grateful to have friends like you to talk through that.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people who are listening here with us and are part of this too are going through so many different types of things. We can't even imagine all of the things that our friends are going through that are testing your faith, or maybe that are making you ask some questions that you haven't asked before. So we're going to talk about how to get through that, what to expect in life, and how to, I guess, ask God the right questions without going to bad places.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's a good way to say that.
I don't know how else to say it other than, you know, sometimes we were saying how do I trust God when, you know, life feels kind of crappy right now?
Yeah.
And we've all been there at different times, and we all handle it differently. So I think that it's important to talk about. Mm-hmm. So let's jump right in with Joyce teaching and get kind of a beginning for this, and then we'll talk more about it.
Well, let me just start out with a question. Irregardless of what has happened to you up until this day, what are you planning to do with the rest of your life? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Are you going to keep mourning over everything that didn't work out good back here? Or are you going to move on from that? Realize that all of that is now something you can't do anything about, you can't change. Are you going to make a decision today, and possibly every day we have to make this decision, to let go of all those things and press on to the things that are ahead? You know, I think that some people, and maybe more than we realize, although they function in society, they have jobs, they go to church, they smile at people, they say they're okay, they're existing, not even living, but they're existing with like a low-level grief in their life over disappointments that they've had and things that did not work out the way that they hoped that they would work out. You know, I think sometimes we can get so used to something that we just put up with it instead of confronting it, dealing with it, getting well, and going on. Our pain from the past can almost become our identity. That's now who we are. We're this broken, painful person that had all these things happen to us. We've had all these disappointments. And it really can become a dangerous type of new modern disease. And we need to realize that Jesus can heal us everywhere we hurt. And every day is a brand new day. Loss is nothing other than a place to start over. Did you hear me? You may not ever be able to go back and have what you once had, but who's saying that what you're going to have in the future can't be better? Amen? I'm going to say that again. Maybe you can't go back and undo the wrong you did. Maybe you can't go back and repair the relationship that was ruined. Maybe you can't go back and undo something that happened back here that hurt you. You can't go back and get people to treat you the way that you would have liked to have been treated. You can't go back and get your parents to love you.
That's a lot of stuff that you can't go back and undo.
Yeah.
And that's one of the hardest things about life, the things that we cannot undo, the things that we can't rewind, make different, and then move forward the way that we wanted it to be.
Right.
We're just on a different track, and things are moving differently. And what Joyce said about many people just existing in a state of a low-level grief, I think is really eye-opening. And
I agree.
We know that it's so true, and it breaks my heart for people. I've been there, but I know that there are many people there right now who are saying, how do I get out of this? Mm-hmm. What do I do? And can I trust God even when these types of things are happening?
I was thinking when she said that, that is why so many of us, including myself, have gone to counseling, because we've had these wounds and things have happened to us, and we kind of just push them down and try to keep moving forwards. And you do kind of walk around with that grief. You almost don't even realize it sometimes. I think sometimes we don't even know how a hurt or something that has happened to us in the past has affected our whole trajectory of our lives.
Yeah.
And so to think about that not being the case, that we could have a different perspective maybe on how God can work in those situations.
Yeah.
I wonder how that would affect all of us so much.
This is something I'm literally living like right now. And I know a lot of people are, living in that space where you have to allow yourself to have grief.
Yeah.
Or allow yourself to go through the process of grief. And I myself don't like being in that position, because I feel like I've been talking about this whole relationship situation for so long now. Like, it's been like, I found out about the affair in 2019, then got served with papers in 2020, had my whole life completely shaken and changed in 2020. And then in 2021, finally have the divorce final. And when you constantly keep having certain things, like I know, my mom has had cancer bouts, and like my family just has gone through a lot of things. I have a lot of friends, and I know you guys have gone through a lot of things, that if it keeps certain things keep like almost ripping the scab off again. Yeah. And it's like, how do I heal from this? Like, it's like one blow after another. And that's how I feel with my personal situation right now. It's like, man, right when I felt like I was done with the grief of that part, like another part comes out. Okay, yeah, it's this. And it was with a friend, and it was this, and now he's gone, and now it's this, and now, and it's like, man, I don't wanna, and then I grieve the fact that I'm not over it. And so it's like, I don't wanna live in grief, but I've also, in counseling, I've realized that I've been taught to allow myself to go through those grieving processes. Like, let yourself go through a process, but have it in your mind and have hope. And I know we're going to talk about that too, but have hope to know that I'm not going to be here forever. Yeah. I refuse to be here forever. Yeah. I know there's going to be light at the other side, or light at the end of the tunnel in this particular situation.
Jay, let me ask you about what Joy said about disappointments shaping our identity, that becomes such a huge part of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That it's almost like we don't know who we are anymore. And I'm sure that you experienced that, because so many things in your life changed.
Yeah, it's like, honestly, it's even we've made a pivot on this show. It's like, do I change my last name? Like, these are regular things. We're talking with our girlfriends, right? Like, it's like, do I change my name back to my maiden name? Do I have to start over because he made a mistake? Like, do I just go by Jay? Like, I've gone by Jay for so many years as an artist. Like, so it was easy for me to pivot in that. But it's like, on all of my legal documents, do I have to get a new passport? Do I have to? Like, when you think of identity, that, of course, you think of the core, the heart, but the practical things of identity too, of like my name. Like, and then a part of me is like, I don't want nothing to do with him. And especially now he's about to get married. We not no threesome. Like, get that out of there. I don't want nothing to do with it. But so it's like, my identity, even on my ID, is now having to be reshaped. And it's hard to not, when you're like, and I know there are other situations, so I don't want to just harp on the relationship piece, but that's so, I know I get so many like emails and DMs about this, but like, relationships are so important and vital. And when you become one with someone, like, that's the whole point, is you become one, you guys become the same person. So my identity was with him, like, it was him. And so now at almost 40, having to figure out who I am after that tearing, it's not just a divorce. Like, you can't just, oh, we broke up. No, I merged my entire self, my person, my dreams, my vision, my future with this person. And it's now like, it's been ripped apart. And now I have to figure out who I am. I'm loving the journey. It's hard because, and I have to grieve. And that's another thing, I have to grieve the future of what I thought we'd be together and what I thought our family would be together. I have to grieve that too. So it's just allowing God to resurrect whoever I was intentionally or initially supposed to be or who he has me to be now, because I do not believe that all divorces are supposed to happen. I believe there's free will. So I believe that God has another plan. He can say, okay, well, he turns all things around and makes it for our good. So it's hard, though, re-identifying myself.
And starting over does not always feel good, but there are good things that God can bring out of it. And I think we do all see that in time when we can look back. Yeah. But in the meantime, it's pretty painful.
It's very painful. You think of the people that have been, I've have had friends that have been in like car accidents or have had certain things happen to them where they had to like relearn how to walk, yeah. You know, like that's such a painful process to know that you're an adult or a teenager and you've had this situation that was not your fault at all. And you've had to like start over and learn how to, and go through all this therapy to relearn how to walk. And I mean, it's just so encouraging to see those videos and the testimonies of people that actually persevere to the point where they get back to the point where they're running again, you know, and it's like, that's encouraging. But it's so difficult and seems so, I hate this word, but it seems unfair. And so
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think it's okay to say that, you know, it does seem unfair. Mm-hmm. And I want to get into what God promises and what he doesn't. I think that's really important as we talk through this. So we're going to jump into a place in the Bible, John 11, where what happened seemed so unfair, and dig into that some more. Here's Joyce.
In John chapter 11, there's a wonderful account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And we can get many great examples out of this, but let's start in verse 5, John 11, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were his dear friends, and he held them in loving esteem. Therefore, because he loved them, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he still stayed 2 days longer in the same place and didn't bother to go and help him. Because he loved him, you would think that he would have ran right over there and fixed the problem. But do you see that? Because he loved him, he waited 2 more days. See, you think when you're having to wait, that means God doesn't love you. According to this, it's a symptom that he does love you. Because maybe God's got something deeper in mind than your immediate relief. Yeah. You know what? If I didn't go through that whole cancer thing for any reason other than to stand up and give other people hope. Sometimes we go through things and it doesn't even have anything to do with us. It's something that God's using us for somebody else's encouragement later on in life. And you don't have to figure out what you did wrong or what your sin is or, you know, why doesn't God love me and all that junk. You just say, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. I love him and the devil is not going to win. This is going to work out for my good. He loved them. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Therefore, he waited and didn't go help them right then. Okay, verse 21. Lazarus, of course, is dead now. Martha said to Jesus when he finally did show up, Master, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Well, how often do we think, well, God, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. And what God wants us to know is it doesn't matter that it happened. I can still give you a resurrection. Why do we think that God is able to help us not to have problems, but he's not able to solve our problem, even though we've had it for a long time?
So good.
That's all really so ouchy, good. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's so true. Yes. Why do I struggle the way that I do? And yet, I have definitely been there where it's like, God, where were you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why weren't you where I wanted you to be, doing what I wanted you to be? I remember a time sitting on a stairwell, looking down at my friend who had just that day taken his own life, and waiting for the police and the coroner to come, and being just in that state of shock with what we were experiencing and what we were seeing and hurting so badly that all I could say was, God, where were you? I know you could have stopped this. I know you could have been here in time. I know that you could have given us a warning, given him hope, prevented this whole thing from happening. And I was just so broken and so hurt at that time that all I could get out was that question of, God, why? And then you start to think, can I trust you now for the future? Can I continue to trust you for these other things that I thought would go a certain way? And now I know they may go a totally different way. Yeah. And so I learned so much through that process that I didn't want to learn, but I'm glad that I did. I would not want to have to go through it again or for anyone else to have to go through it, but I am glad for what God showed me through that. But I want to ask you guys, what have you learned in those times of waiting or times of disappointment that have helped you in the long run?
It's, before I answer that, I think one thing that you said is really interesting, because you can, there's like a slippery slope there, mm-hmm. of what you're asking God. And asking him, like, where were you and why didn't you step in? And you can easily start to look at God in a very wrong way, mm-hmm. that you are not for me. You are actually against me, and all you're doing, like, we're puppets. And it just is just fun to you. Why did you leave me here when I'm in so much pain? Is this, you could have done something. Why didn't you step in?
Right.
So when I've had those times in my life, I always have to go back to the fact that God is good, and that one word is how I've gotten through most things like this. Because if he is who he says he is in the word, and he is good, and I wrote down a bunch of scriptures about over and over in the Bible, we are told he is good, he is gracious, he is mercy, he's loving, kindness, all of that stuff. If that's who he is, then in this situation, is what happened good? No. Then that's not him, but he will use it. And I can't see it now. I can't see how he's going to use it. But all I know is his word says, the Lord is God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Every good and perfect gift is from God. And over, that's the only way I've ever been able to not go to that dark place, you know?
Yeah. And we can get there so easily.
Yeah.
And one of the things I learned through that whole process was that we have to be so careful with our words and what we choose to believe. And we have to really shift it to what God's word says. Because, for instance, we throw out things like, everything's going to be okay.
Which is super annoying to hear.
You can't say that. We don't know that everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we throw out words like, God's got this, and that's true, but what we don't know is what he's going to do through it and after it and during it. So the words that we say are so very important. We can't say things like, don't worry, it's all going to work out the way you want it to. We can't say that. We can't say, don't worry, because God is good and he's in control. So I've learned so much about the promises that we stand on have to be the promises from the word of God, and not just platitudes that we throw out to make other people feel better. So what can we trust? We can't trust that things are going to go perfectly, but we can trust that God will never leave us or forsake us. We can trust that he is good, that he has good for us, that even through the hardest times, he will not turn his back on us, that he will teach us things, that he will continue to walk with us. And so I don't know. I think through this, can I trust God when? I've learned, yes, I absolutely can. And it's not because the things go the way I want them to. It's because God is still God, even through those hard things that are so difficult.
Yeah, I think about, this just reminds me, of course, like, that first of all, sin is in this world. And as long as sin is in this world, Satan is here, and his whole job is to steal, kill, and to destroy.
Right.
And that's what I've had to remind myself, even through the different things I've been through and even my current situation now. It's Satan's job to kill, steal, and destroy. So there's like people always ask, like, why do bad things happen to good people and things like that? And it's like, it's Satan's job to do that. And like Aaron said, but God is good. All things good are God. And one of the stories back in Daniel about the three Hebrew boys that always has encouraged me when they were faced with being in the fiery furnace, you know, and one of the things that they said was, even if God doesn't deliver us from this and doesn't rescue us from this, you know, this fiery furnace, I know that he's able to. I know that he can. And so that's just been my positioning. Although I don't understand this situation, I want to be able to trust, like the song Waymaker says, that even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. And even if you don't deliver me out of this, because initially I started my process after I found out about the affair, I started the process out by believing God that he was going to restore my marriage. Like, that, because that's the Christian thing to do, right? Like, you know, like, I'm going to keep on praying that God turns it around. And I was worshiping and leading people in worship and praying that my marriage would work. Then even after I was served with papers, I'm still like praying and asking God, you can do this. You can do this, until the judge said clunk. Then I said, okay, it's done. So, like, but it's hard, you know, it's hard to do that, but allow yourself the space to ask the questions, but have the place in mind to say, God, I'm asking these questions because I do want to get to a place where I don't feel this anger and frustration anymore. I want to resolve and I want to be able to trust you more.
Yeah.
I was thinking about what you said about waiting and what the verses were saying that we were looking at. And it's so annoying when, like, had he gone 2 days earlier, we wouldn't have had to have this conversation. He could have just lived. And why didn't you just do that? But I was thinking, like, as a parent, sometimes I will tell my kids no just to make them wait, just to learn, one, don't be a brat, but also, like, you need to learn this skill now as you're young, so that way as you grow, you'll have patience and you'll have humility. And that doesn't mean I'm mean, but if I'm doing something and they want a snack, it's okay to make them wait a minute, because that teaches them some things.
Exactly.
Even more so, if I'm asking God for something, he might make me wait, but he's growing something in me.
Right.
And that helps. It helps a minute. It's still really hard, but just that perspective change.
It's true, because that takes us back to knowing what we need to stand on and what we should not stand on. For instance, you can't say God won't allow that to happen to you. Because things do happen that God does allow. Mm-hmm. But we can say that God is a loving Father.
Yep.
And so, you know, there are so many things that we learn through this process, that his love never ends, it never fails. But he is teaching us things along the way. So let's get back to the story of Lazarus, because there's a lot more in here that we have to learn. And this helps me so much, because this is a story where things went badly and God brought good out of it. So let's get back to Joyce.
Verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." And Martha said, "Well, I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection on that last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Verse 32. Now when Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she dropped down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you would have been here." So Mary and Martha both got the same story. "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Now, I want you to watch these next few verses. When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews who came along with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And I can tell you, he wasn't moved, and it wasn't their tears that was making him feel that way. It was their unbelief. Watch this. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He chafed in spirit and sighed and was disturbed. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Well, come and see." In verse 35, and Jesus wept. He wasn't weeping for Lazarus. He already knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He wasn't weeping for Mary and Martha because they'd lost their brother, because he already knew he was going to raise him from the dead. Matter of fact, he waited and let him die so he could raise him from the dead. Whew, I love this. Jesus wept. I wonder how often he weeps over our unbelief. I wonder how often Jesus cries because he just wants us to trust him. To just say, God, I trust you. I don't understand it. It sure hurts. It doesn't seem fair. But I trust you. And if you're up for it, I think it's even a great thing to get to the point in your life where we stop asking God why about everything. Some things just aren't any of our business. There are some things that are just deeper in God that there's no way we're going to understand it because it's a spiritual thing. Yeah, well, you're not liking that too much. But I mean, if we need to know why something happened because it's going to be a good, valuable lesson for us, then God will tell us. But if we don't need to know, he's not going to tell us. So why drive yourself nuts trying to figure out something that only God knows and he's not telling you?
So I just told you, you know, how I ask all those questions. And, you know, Joyce slaps me around every now and then in a loving way. And that's okay. That's all right. We all need that. But what I have learned through all those times of asking why is that God's big enough for our questions, like we've been saying. And also that I've grown enough to not expect the answers. Mm. So it's all right in my time of hurt and grief and sorrow to get that out and to tell God everything, because he knows it anyway. He knows what's in my heart. He knows what I'm struggling with. But I'm not anymore, and I used to do this, but I'm no longer demanding, do this or I can't trust you.
Yes, because I wish I could fast forward the grieving process. Like, I wish I could, you know, but it's natural to have those Mary and Martha moments where you fall to the feet of Jesus and be like, I thought you were our friend. So I just think I need to just trust God more. And what can I do to stretch my trust and my faith more in this moment versus asking questions?
And I think there's so much to be said in just that one scripture, Jesus wept. Because I think what Joy said is very true, is that it does hurt him when we don't trust him, when we don't have the faith in him that we should have. But also, I think there is something about, he saw Mary and Martha, his friends that he loved, in such despair and hurting so bad. And and that hurt him too. Because when we cry, he's crying right along with us. He never wants to see us heartbroken. So I think there's so much in that about who Jesus is in our lives, how much he loves us, how much he's walking through every moment with us, with that emotional investment, as well as being God who can say, you know, I can take the absolute worst in your life and turn it around and do something good out of it.
I think that's why studying the character of God is so important to do, especially before you go through a hard time. So if you're not in a hard time now, I recommend you study it.
Yeah, do it now. Yes,
then you'll be ready. You're stored up for when it happens, because when you get to those places, you can go back. You can lean on that foundation you have of, he's strong and he's my protector.
Yeah.
He is mighty. Yeah. He's almighty. Also, at the same time, he's close to me and he hasn't left my side. So you get to you get all aspects of who he is, and it helps you when you don't have the answers. When he's saying nothing back to you, all you have is silence, you get the peace from God that passes all understanding, because that's who he is.
I've had so much peace, I think, through reading through the Bible and other things that have happened to people that I saw as doesn't make sense. Like, Moses, right, is this leader, and he's putting up with so much from these whining people that he's responsible for. And, you know, they would come to him and they would say, why did you bring us out here to die in the desert? We're tired of this food. Well, he asked God to provide food for them, and God did in a miraculous way. And yet his people are saying, we're sick of this food all the time. And, you know, it's just stuff that you read and you're like, come on, give the man a break. And so all of these things that happened to different people in the Bible, and sometimes they didn't handle it so well, and other times they handled it better, but God was there through all of it. And so I think there's so much that I've learned in that for me, I like things to be logical. I like them to make sense. And I think that God thinks in my logical way, which is totally wrong. God's ways are so much higher than my logic. His ways are so much better, even though they hurt at times, than I can ever imagine. So when I try to put God on my playing field, on my level of figuring things out and what he should do, how disrespectful is that? Right. But yeah. I find myself there all the time. And then I pull myself back and I go back to that trust and that faith and say, okay, this is where I am. And one of the scriptures mm-hmm. that I love to be able to do that, to come back around to, okay, God, I've been an idiot. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me through it, yeah. is Luke 1:38. And this is Mary. And she had just saw an angel and heard that even as a virgin, she was going to have a baby. And just think of all the things going through this poor girl's mind is...
I just can't imagine.
Everyone's going to be furious. They're going to think I'm something I'm not. All these
so
things.
So much judgment, yeah.
Her words in Luke 1:38 were, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. That kind of faith, that kind of trust, when it is something that she knows is going to hurt along the way, that's the kind of faith and trust that I want to have.
I remember, I think I told you guys this, I don't remember, but a few months ago, I had just found out some stuff, and I was in the bathroom, and I was looking at myself in the mirror crying. I don't know if you'll ever do that. It was very therapeutic, just to look at, why me? Oh, I'm so sad. Yeah, poor Erin.
You're like, my mascara's not running, let me rub.
That looks more dramatic. There, now she's really suffering. But asking God, why me, God? And feeling him say to me, because I prepared you. Because you're strong enough in me to do this. And I had that moment. I didn't probably do as well as Mary did. But I don't know what's down the road. I know it's going to be difficult. But I also know that I've been prepared for this moment. So my why questions won't make a difference because it is what it is.
Right.
But he will equip me. I just want to do it right.
Yeah.
So I didn't after that. But for that moment, it was an interesting way to look at things.
Yeah.
Just think if the people in the Bible hadn't gone through what they went through, we wouldn't have the Bible.
Yeah, right. So true.
Yeah. That's why we have it.
That's why, you know, like, and then you think about like, well, okay, what makes me exempt from trials? Like what makes, like, it's clearly this book has been established for so many years. Like there's a bigger picture to the story. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's why even what I've gone through, what Ginger's gone through, what Aaron's gone through, of course, what Joyce has gone through, we're able to talk about it even on this platform and help you guys, like, and you guys help us too. So many people have done that for us, but it's like, it's not my test. It's not for me. It's for my testimony. And that's what gets my mind. It's like, it's to stretch me. It's to trust that God has a bigger plan and know that what I'm going through in this moment, whether it be sickness in relationship, it's for a bigger purpose.
Yeah. So let's find out what keeps us stable, what we hold on to through the storms. Where does our hope come from?
When you want a boat to stay a certain place in the water, you drop the anchor. Because if you don't, it's going to float away. But when you drop the anchor, although it can still go a little bit in each direction, it can only go so far. And so then maybe, you know, you try to go over here in this direction a little bit, and it only goes so far. And God has given us hope as the anchor of our soul. What does that mean? That means when I've got the promise of God and I'm believing and my mind goes crazy because I'm tired and worn out and I've waited a long, long time. And my mind says, you're not ever going to get it. God, this is not for you. Everybody else gets blessed, but you don't. You might as well quit and give up. Oh, wait a minute. There's that God of hope again, pulling me back to say, nope, this is for you. When your emotions go wild and you say, I just can't do this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just so upset. And I, okay. See, hope, when you have hope, your soul may get out there and drift around a little bit, but it ain't going too far because you've already dropped the anchor of hope in your life. Oh yeah, you know, we have little emotions. I mean, mine took off in a couple of directions this morning when I first woke up and I was... I even heard a couple of, what about me? Kind of faint, but in the background there, what about me when this is over? What about me? What am I gonna? Wait a minute. And my mind tried to drift off a couple of times, and you know, then and boy, your will, man. Well, I don't want, and I don't think, and I don't feel, and I don't want, and I don't. Your will be done, Lord, not mine.
You know, I'll tell you that chain that you hear clattering around, that anchor of hope that she's chained to when she's talking about being able to be pulled back to the love of the Father, that chain is so strong. Mm-hmm. And I have pulled and yanked against that chain so many times. I'm just ridiculously strong-willed. Okay, I'll just say it. I am so ridiculously strong-willed. And I'm so grateful that he's so much stronger than that, that he has lovingly shown me this hope in places that I never imagined I could find it in my life. And he has been that anchor of hope in those storms and those different times that I have railed against what was going on. And so I'm so grateful for that, because I really have learned that that is the one thing that keeps me in place. That is the one thing that reminds me of who he is and how much he loves me and what he has for me. And that if I would pull up that anchor and just float, you know, aimlessly, then I would go somewhere I do not want to be. I know that anchor is what I have to hold on to.
And you would be no better off out there.
Oh, no, it'd be terrible.
No,
it'd
be you'd terrible. Be alone.
Right.
So even though your situation's still hard here or out there, at least here you have hope.
Right.
And you're not alone.
And it's not the kind of chain that God doesn't give you a choice.
Right.
God gives us a choice, but he says, if you want me to lower this anchor, and I will keep you in place, I will hold on to you through the storms. Mm-hmm. So I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah,
it's so powerful to know that his love, like there's an old song that we used to sing growing up, just like his anchor holds and it grips like a solid rock. And I've felt it so strongly in this particular season where, and he's allowed me to drift a little, where I have my moments of like, even Joyce said, what about me? Mine wasn't that soft. Mine was like, what about me? Like, I was just screaming, like, you know, like, why? Like, I don't get it. And he allows me to drift away a little, to the point where I was just like, wait a minute. I don't want to go too much further.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, because it gets hopeless. And it then, like, the reality is, the more that we allow ourselves to drift without realizing that Jesus is our anchor and Jesus is going to bring us through, it's hopeless on me. I'm just telling you, friends, it's hopeless on the other side. It's not like the questions just became like Satan's going to put more questions in your head. He's going to put more doubt in your head. And it's not fun. It's nothing good out there. It just doesn't feel. And then granted, we're not based off of our feelings, but it doesn't feel better. Like, I know most people, when you're looking for hope, you want an answer. You want a resolution. You don't want to feel as, what we said, crappy. Like, you don't want to feel bad anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, if you allow yourself to keep drifting in the place where Satan wants you to go, and you uproot that anchor and not allow it to tug you back, it's hopeless. So it's better to have that moment and let that tug and allow yourself to have that attitude of gratitude, like, of like, okay, I'm still alive. Okay, I'm still loved by so many. Okay, I still have breath. Okay, I still, whatever that thing is that'll help that tug, like, and he'll tug it a little more, and somebody will send you a random text or send you a random note, or, you know, like people were sending me random flowers, even though I'm allergic, but like people were doing all kinds of things that were like, I love you and I'm here for you, but you gotta allow yourself to see it when you're feeling so hopeless and so full of despair. So that's that tugging.
So that question we started out with today was, can I trust God when, or God, how can I trust you when, .. And I think that we've all learned through our own circumstances, all these different difficult things that we faced and all these things that our friends have faced, that the answer to that is yes, every single time. And it will hurt, but it won't hurt as bad as letting go of that rope and floating aimlessly and hopelessly, because he is where our hope comes from. He is our only source of true hope through every situation. So yes, we can, and yes, we have to. Mm-hmm. And he's big enough to handle our questions. He loves us through our little fits and tantrums, but he provides so much more than we can ever imagine. Not a perfect life in our way of thinking about things, but his way is so much different than our way. So we just want you to have hope today. I pray for that for you, whatever those terrible situations, whatever those frightening things are that you're going through, that you're asking, God, can I trust you here? I invite you to just say, okay, God, show me that I can. Because when you ask him, he promises that he'll answer you. And we want to share some resources with you that will help you. We have an online study for you. It's absolutely free. It's a great way to dig into the Word of God. It's called How Can I Trust God When? The online study. You can get it at joycemeyer.org/talkitout. There you can also sign up for our friends list, catch up on some of our old recipes. Not coming from me. There are no recipes here. Coming up. Some of our old episodes, you'll hear some great stuff. And then also, we invite you, we cannot wait for this. We invite you to join us for WC21, the Love Life Women's Conference. It is going to be so fun. It's a virtual event and it's going to be bigger and better than ever before.
Bigger and better.
You can take it in the way you want, and it will be coming up to for everybody all at the same time on October 8th and 9th, but also be on demand after that. Joyce, a lot of special guests, some great music, and we're going to talk about how to really understand who you are in Christ, to be authentically, uniquely you, and love it. So that'll be great. So for that, go to joycemeyer.org/lovelife21. And register.
We're so excited.
I know.
So
we can't wait.
Choke myself up over that.
Well, thank you both. Thank you, Jay, for zooming in with us today.
Love
we
you,
appreciate it. We'll see you all next time. Bye.
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 Go get today's free resource at joycemeyer.org/talkitout. And while you're at joycemeyer.org/talkitout, you can also review previous episodes, get to know us a little better, and sign up for our friends list to receive exclusive content. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen or watch Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast.